You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe.
It was an absolutely gorgeous day to start your work week. Hopefully you had a good weekend other than Saturday. During the day, the rain was nasty. That said, nothing nasty about Saturday night. Pelicans, pick up the win using a little defense.
Donaldson comes to the rim, layup blocked by Holiday. Loose ball grabbed by Davis. 5 seconds left and they'll foul Davis with 4.9 on the clock.
Drew Holiday.
Indeed. Cannot wait to break that game down with you and also talk a little NBA playoffs. Two full days in the books, two games tonight. Heat Sixers game two. What did Philly do to Miami? And Spurs and Warriors and the storylines going in out of that. Pepito, get ready because coming up here in a matter of minutes, we'll speak with David Wesley. He, of course, is part of your Pelicans broadcast crew for Fox Sports New Orleans. And we'll chat with him about what it was like there, the Moda Center.
Pelican,
when,
come on, Pelican.
Let's be honest, it looked a little dodgy there towards the end. A 19-point lead, Jason, the Pels had. It dwindled to one. But the Pels held on. 800-998-1003, so we'll definitely chat with him about that here in a little bit. Also, Saints. I know, Jason, you're super excited about today. I'll say this. The fact that you've walked in with the headband, mm-hmm. and, I mean, look, I'll give you credit on it. I mean, you got the black and gold sort of, what is that, leotard? Is that what it's called? It's all a one-piece sort of thing? Is that what that is?
Yeah, you can call it a leotard.
Okay.
Sure, why not?
I like
it's a leotard.
I like it.
Yeah, it's in black and gold. You know, it's got a fleur-de-lis on it. It makes me think of, something.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling right now. Gotta
is that what it is?
Loosen up.
The fact that this was used as workout music back in the 80s.
Workout music?
Or you thought that this was kind of...
Oh, this was workout music.
This was workout music.
This is called aerobics.
That's right.
This is what this is.
Exactly right. I do like the headband look on you.
It looks fantastic. I know.
It's interesting, yeah.
I'm sorry I haven't washed it in months, but, you know, I jog a lot.
Yes, your New Orleans Saints off-season workouts begin today. 2 weeks, Pepito, of running, weightlifting,
stretches,
rehabbing. Oh, plenty of stretching.
A lot of got to.
Got
you know
a lot
why?
Of stretching. Yeah,
that's why.
That's why. Hey, you know what? You can say matchups. You can say trick plays wins you playoff games or gets you in a playoff. Mm-hmm. No, it's right now.
No,
it's
aerobics,
right now.
Calisthenics.
Got to get in shape right now. Although they've been working out the entire offseason. But right now, though, primarily, Pepito, it's together. It's
Sean Payton blares this
you
in the PA in the practice field.
You could follow Marcus Williams and other Saints players on their Instagram and see that they've been doing nothing but weightlifting. And
yeah, but that's boring. But you can go see them in
exactly,
person.
Exactly. That's alone or that's with their group. But now it's being done as a team. Jason.
As a team. As a unit.
Team,
the way
yes.
it should. The way all the A's.
Gear.
Yeah, the way all the 80s workout videos were done, as a group, as a team, in succinct. It's beautiful. I want to see you do a Jane Fonda workout. Remember those tapes?
No.
Come on. Of course you do. Jane Fonda. There's a reference for you.
It's pretty much
what you're hearing right now.
Have you had some VHS tapes back in the day?
I do, actually.
Okay, yeah.
That's how I know about it.
All right,
my mom taped them.
No, I said, do you have any VHS tapes?
Oh, I don't have possession
of them.
No. It was like a Jane Fonda workout in like WrestleMania 2.
What would
the same VHS.
What would Pepito's workouts be?
pretty much this right here, what you're hearing.
This is right.
Whatever workouts you're picturing, this is my workout.
Right.
Okay. There it is.
But yeah, solo to
the Saints, I will break down because I know there's nothing more in depth and detail than to have the breakdown of the
of calisthenics.
Well, though, as to what exactly these off-season conditioning workouts are,
we just went through them. The stretches.
No. It's a couple of weeks.
You know, Sean Payton blares this song. He blares this song at the practice field. You know that, huh?
No.
Yeah, he does.
He does not blare this song.
The reason we won a Super Bowl is because in spring practice, Sean Payton played this song.
Yeah, I don't really think that's what happened. Want to get back to the Pels? Little Pels?
Oh, yes.
Can't wait to get David Wesley on, live from Portland, to give us the take because
come on,
it was fantastic. Go ahead. Just give me a little lead. Let's just do it.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
97-95. Pelicans hold on to win. They were up 19 points. And then it got down to 93-92 was the score with 59 seconds to play. Drew Holiday makes two ridiculous defensive plays to seal the game for the Pels or win it. I mean, honestly, okay? 44 seconds. He steals a C.J. McCollum pass on a transition and just throws his arms up and takes that ball away, which was a tremendous play. Then A.D. misses a three-pointer, and then with 15 seconds, Lillard misses a floater. Thanks to the good defense, AD gets one of two rebounds, the two rebounds that Alvin Gentry says he said and told the team they needed and they were going to need to win the game and wound up getting. It was amazing to see. And then at 6.3 seconds, you heard it to start the show, the highlight there of the block.
Bounce pass to Connaughton, comes to the rim, layup blocked by Holiday. Loose ball grabbed by Davis. 5 seconds left and they'll foul Davis with 4.9 on the clock.
Drew Holiday.
Yeah, I mean, again, my hands were sweating watching this game. I cannot imagine what it was like to be inside the arena. David Wesley at Senior David Wesley 4 is a way to follow him over on Twitter. He's the color analyst for the Pelicans on Fox Sports New Orleans. Joins us from Portland. David, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Trying to get used to all this time change.
Right, exactly. I looked at the clock. I was going to say good afternoon, but it is still morning over there.
10 o'clock.
David, you've been on the court, obviously, in these moments, in these games, man, to hold on because the crowd's loud, the threes are going in. We're going to get into the breakdown as to how they got the 19-point lead, but I'm talking that crunch time, that last minute or two. It's not easy to do in a regular season game. We've seen the Pels do it as of late the last month and a half or so, but to do it in the playoffs, it's a whole different animal. Is that the most impressive part other than just getting the win as to just that last 60 seconds?
Oh, absolutely. And there are teams that will fold. There are teams that haven't been there before and don't know how to react. I think it's very important for this team to have guys like Rondo and Ian Clark who've been there, been all the way there and won a championship, to be in those huddles, to be in those on the floor. And both of them were on the floor at the end of the game, which I thought was very important to calm everybody down. Right? We're okay. We need a basket here. We need to stop here. We need a rebound. That simple. And, you know, I remember thinking, and I've had the confidence in this team that they can close. They've done it this year. They've won a lot of close games. Their record is better closing games than not. So I had confidence that they were, and I just knew they need to make one or two more plays, and they did it.
You played for in the league for years, and you've covered now the Pels for a handful here. That's one of the toughest places to win, isn't it? And to be able to do that's got to give you confidence.
Well, the times that the Pelicans have come, especially to Portland, played incredible basketball, had big leads, and Portland has been able to just walk them down and get the lead. There there was a time even this year that if Portland was coming back, I would have thought, uh-oh. It's just this last half of the season that they have started to play really well, and their defense has been good the last 25 games. They're able to get stops when they need them. So I wasn't as worried, but yes, this has been a very tough place for New Orleans to play and for them to come in and get game one. Now it's time to get greedy.
Yeah, no doubt. 97-95, the win on Saturday night. David Wesley Sr. joining us here to chat a little bit about that game. You know, afterwards, you had Damian Lillard say, hey, look, we got to force the issue with the referees. Only three combined free throws for he and McCollum, that backcourt that you saw. When they get hot, it's on. You just got to withstand it. What did you see from the court, though, and being there, just the defense that the Pels use? I mean, they talked about it afterwards, Drew and AD. It's just energy and effort, and I get that. But what specifically did they do so well to keep those guards in check, especially for pretty much three quarters?
Energy and effort, yes. You have to have that. I don't care what kind of game plan you have. So, yes, that is part of it. But you also have to be locked in. And those guys were locked in because every time they weren't, every time they missed an assignment, Dame or CJ made them pay. So, bigs being up, them being connected, communication, all those things happen, and you can see them doing it with energy and effort. Now, when Dame would come off, you'd see the bigs, they were up and down in the stance and ready to accept them and made them go away from the basket, not turn the corner, so they took great angles to keep them in front. Guards worked hard over the top, and all night long, they were shooting contested or off-balance shots. They played them great. If they can do that again, and it's tough, and you can't overreact to them hitting shots. They're going to hit great shots. They're going to hit open shots. They're going to make a run in their building. You got to keep doing what you're doing. And because they did it for so long and so good, that's why they got that win.
David, take us on the floor, being a guard yourself. When you're constantly having to, I guess, go around bigs like that, and that offense is, and even Lillard say it, they do a lot of pick and roll. So there is a lot of activity, a lot of running away from the, without the ball, things of that nature. So when you're having to, is it the extra energy, David, of having to go around the bigs and the physicality of it, and here's a guard, and Drew's not small either, but just having that, like, what makes it difficult what the Pels did defensively from a guard perspective against them?
Well, just that, getting over screen, fighting through bigs, fighting through contact. But, again, these guys have been around. They know. They've been through 82 games. They played them five times now. You know what you're up against. You know what to expect. You start working on your angles, maneuvering around screens, and the better you can do that, the less time the big has to be left out there guarding Damian or CJ on that ISO for a minute. And I thought all the guards did a great job of doing that. If they can continue to stay as close and connected to those guards coming off those screens, taking that contact, fighting hard, that gives them every chance in the world because this is really a two-headed monster. If you can take one of them away and make the other one shoot an inefficient night, you got a great chance. You just know it in the fourth quarter. I don't care if they're 0 for 20. They're shooting 21 and 22 because that's how much confidence both of them have in themselves.
David, you've been in the career. Obviously, you've been up 1-0 and been down 0-1 in a playoff series. So give us the perspective from either way. What's Portland thinking today and going into tomorrow's game? And take us into the locker room with Alvin Gentry and the guys. What are they expecting?
Okay, with Portland, you know, I don't think Portland's a confident team right now. CJ came in struggling from the last five or six games. I think he's shooting around in the 20s from three in his last seven. So he's not confident. The Pelicans didn't give him a reason to get confident. I think they might be a little worried. Certainly they're thinking, all right, we have to get this game here on our floor Tuesday. We have to win this game. So they're in there making their adjustments. How are we going to guard AD? Big problem because they don't have a matchup for AD. They tried Ed Davis. They tried Nurkic. They tried Aminu. None of it really worked. And then they have to decide, okay, do we trap AD, get the ball out of his hands, and make others beat you? Well, this team, this New Orleans team came on in a different way, confident. And while Portland is trying to make adjustments and figure out what they have to do different and still trying to play with some confidence, in a New Orleans locker room, they have to be thinking, we can beat this team. Let's get game two, go home and close this series. Because what do they have? And, yes, they're going to look back at film, New Orleans, and they're going to see, all right, here's a bad shot, long rebound, open three for Portland. They're going to see turnover, which they had way too many, run out, three for Portland, for open shot. Limit those. Limit those kinds of plays, and that gives them less open looks, because when their defense was set in game one, they were really, really good. And sure, Dame got hot there in the fourth. CJ hit the corner three, but all in all, they did an exceptional job, and if they can continue to do that, I don't know what else Portland has.
Yeah, I'm with you, David. I can hear you and Joel. I can hear the voices through the 82 games, too. Ball movement. That was the one thing in the last several minutes. I'm screaming, like, pass the ball. I mean, move the ball. Stop. When AD jacks up the three, I'm like, what are you doing? We know what works with this team, don't we? And look, I get it. And yes, it's so easy for us to say, do this and do that. And sometimes the emotion of the game and the flow of the game get it. But I'm with you. It's one of the reasons, David, I thought this team can win this series and can make some noise, because they've been doing it for a while, and you've seen what they can do. If they move the ball, they play defense, why can't they win a game? And you just got to win four of them. And if they do that, I'm with you. Why not? Let's see what happens.
Well, you know, in that three that AD shot, every time he shoots a three, I'm thinking, yeah, he can make that. And great players, they want to put the dagger in. I get that. Like, yes, but I'm also thinking, but you can get anywhere you want to on the floor. You can go in there and shoot a layup. That's a better shot. So, yeah, he's played great, and he continues to lead this team. He's doing a fabulous job.
I'll tell you what, the two rebounds there at the end that were huge, because that ball is bouncing. You're just like, go get it. But more importantly, somebody, and it won't be talked about that much, what about, David, the two free throws, the two sets of free throws? He hits four free throws there to really win the game and seal it. And, again, I'm sweating and I'm nervous watching the free throw. I can't imagine what that's like on the court, and that's why those guys are who they are, right?
Well, you know, and in that situation, again, for me, the guys that have done it, for me, this for a while, in the middle of the season, you couldn't trust the Pelicans. They did some stuff that blew your mind. Towards the end of the season, there's a confidence that I've even gotten in this team that can do things. And AD on the free throw line? Yeah, I'm expecting two. He went through a stretch where he was shooting high 80s, high 88 from in a 10 or 12 game stretch, where he's shooting 89% from the free throw line. Yes, I expect him to make shots. Yes, when it's the toughest time in the game, I expect him to make them. So when he went to the free throw line, I thought, well, that's good for the Pelicans. They got their best free throw shooter on the line, especially clutch free throw shooter. He hasn't missed many of those late in games. So this is going to be a fun game, too. It's going to be a fun game, too.
I hear you. I don't know if the heart can take much more of this, though. I love this.
That's
what
right.
We've been wanting, man. Hey, I appreciate your time this morning over in Portland, Mr. David Wesley. Follow him on Twitter at SeniorDavidWesley4. Go ahead and tweet at him. The game's not till tomorrow night. You can go back and forth and chat with him about it. Thank you, bud.
Yep, thank you.
Absolutely. Dude, I'm serious. I see those free throws, and I'm with David. I felt confident that he can go and do it. But when you're facing a team that just, especially when that momentum had switched, that momentum had turned, and you know a three is coming from the other side, you've got to knock down those free throws. And he gets two huge rebounds and two huge threes. He knocks them down. Let's hear from him, Coach Gentry, Drew Holiday, Damian Lillard. All we come back, it's the Sports Hangover Hour 1, brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KIA. Welcome back. Sportango over 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime in, 800-998-1003 is a number. And, of course, you can always tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Pepito coming up some point today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. One pair of Jazz Fest tickets we will be giving away.
On us.
Yes.
We have them right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a ticket.
That is not a ticket. That is a
poster. That will not get you into Jazz Fest. Well, the tickets we're giving away can.
Yes. So at some point during the show, we'll have a little. Do you have it ready?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could tease it. Want to play it now? Tease it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So if you hear this. Yeah, that's called a little audio montage, sort of there.
There you go.
Yeah.
When you hear that,
yeah,
you got tickets, right?
Little Rod Stewart.
Aerosmith.
And little Beck.
Beck.
Yeah. Just three of the many of the artists that will be there.
Yeah. Sting, right. Jack White.
So when you hear that, call, and Joey will say, hey, and first phone that he picks up, right? It's
easy.
It's literally that easy.
No science to this.
No.
You're the stinger. No. Call. Yeah.
So when you hear that, what you just, not right now, but when you, some point later, you'll hear that, and we'll give you some Jazz Fest tickets. One pair today, one pair tomorrow, one pair Wednesday, one pair Thursday, one pair Friday.
A lot of pairs.
So there you go, five.
How many pairs you got?
Five pairs of tickets.
That's a lot of pairs. I got a pair.
Here are the highlights, that final last minute that I was talking about that was so good by the Pels Radio Network.
Eight rebounds now for Rondo, who dribbles to the left elbow. Lobs for the rim. Alley-oop, dunk, smash down with the right hand of Anthony Davis.
Yes, indeed.
Hide your wife, hide your kids. Woo!
Yes, indeed. How you like me now?
There's still a long way to go. 3:35 to play off the high middle screen. Lillard drives to the rim, throws corner right. McCollum for three. Good, he got it. And it's 88-83 on an 11-2 run. The Blazers have made this a two-possession game. Over to Davis on his left. Drives in the lane. Strip and loose to Holiday. Out to Clark for three. Bang! Got it. Ian Clark calms down everyone who's standing here at the Moto Center to make it 91-85.
Ian Clark with one of his biggest shots of the season.
With 1:10 to go. Here's Lillard from the top of the arc. Drives the rim. Throws it off his hip to Turner. Corner right three, no good. Rebound loose, and popcorns back out to Turner. Swing to McCollum. Corner right three is good.
That's another chance. Another second chance bucket. The Pels don't stop them and don't keep them off the glass. The offensive rebound again hurting New Orleans. That's 18 second chance points by Portland.
Bounce pass to Connaughton, comes to the rim, layup blocked by Holiday. Loose ball grabbed by Davis. 5 seconds left, and they'll foul Davis with 4.9 on the clock.
Drew Holiday with a little Drew Deeney down the stretch. Oh, my goodness, the block from behind.
Drew Holiday's second big block tonight. He had 64 blocks in the regular season to lead all players 6'5 and under. And it's defense, like it was in the first half, that may win this game here late for the New Orleans Pelicans.
And indeed, the final was 97-95. That's John DeShazer and, of course, Sean Kelly, voice of the Pelicans Radio Network. You can listen to the next three games, hopefully some more. Yeah, actually, maybe, hopefully not more. But anyway, any of the playoff games right here, ESPN New Orleans, including tomorrow. You can actually listen to the game tonight, Spurs-Warriors at 9:30. We'll go over some of the scores from Saturday, Sunday, and Monday as well. And forget NOLA Golf Academy coming up 6-8. After that, it'll be Spurs and the Warriors. Did you hear the difference, Jason, when McCollum hits that three and the place is bananas? Sean's having to yell to get that call out, right? And then right after the Drew block, he had to just kind of tone down a little bit because he was louder than that arena. That's talk. Ooh. That's when a block just makes it silent.
Making a statement, you mean?
Oh, I love it. Drew Holiday touched on the anatomy of the block, right? Because, I mean, the block was spectacular. He made two tremendous defensive plays there. But afterwards, on the walk-off interview with the radio guys, This is how he details the anatomy of what he was thinking during that play.
Really just meet him at the rim. The only thing that he had was either a layup or a dunk, and at that point it was either going to be a block or a foul, and I think we're up three, so it didn't really matter if I fouled him. I was going to foul him hard, but since I saw the ball, I went for it.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like what me and Dino have talked about. just follow hard. I mean, just I love it. Send a message. Nah, man, I was trying not to wake up people in the house. It's hard to do when you watch the game like that. It's the only bad thing about this series starting on the road, especially being out in the West Coast. 9:30 start.
Yeah, those West Coast games, you're up for the late hours, man.
Yeah.
It's a late one.
It's kind of hard, like, hey, let's go have a watch party Tuesday.
Yeah, I can't really do it.
Start at 9:30. Again, I mean, we're pros. We can make it.
Well, that's different.
But, yeah, but yeah. It's 9:30.
It is late.
Yeah. I don't know. I loved it. Alvin Gentry on the win.
I think anytime you can go on the road and win a game, especially a playoff game, they always say the series doesn't start until you win on the road. I thought that our mentality has been that way the whole season. You know, we're one of the few teams that has as good a road record as we do at home. So we feel comfortable playing on the road. I just think that if you can win the first game, it kind of takes the total edge off. But I told the guys the one thing we've got to do is that we've got to try to do the same thing in a couple of days here. You can't take anything for granted, and we still got to play with the same intensity that we played with. And like I said, we just got to correct those two areas. I think that we're a much better offensive team than we showed when we played with flow, and we didn't play very much flow today. For some reason, we got into one-on-one and isolation situations and not very much ball movement, and we have to do better in that area.
You know, the other thing, too, it's Anthony Davis' first postseason win. Hard to believe, but yes, the last time they were in the postseason, they got swept by Golden State, even though two of those games, Pelicans could have won. AD on getting that one.
It means a lot, you know, get that monkey off your back, get your first win. But now, you know, now that's over with. We want to come in Tuesday and get another one. That's our mindset, make some adjustments and then come out. And try to do the things that we kind of messed up a little bit better, like rebounding the basketball better and even being up more on Dame and CJ. So, you know, just little stuff like that. We want to make adjustments, but feels good to get that first win.
At ESPN Radio Nola, Pepito will put it up there. We can go back and forth with it. What's the most impressive thing from the win? What was it? The fact that they held on to win? Was it the defense? Was it Drew Holiday's play? Was it AD doing what I thought? This is what he's been wanting for, right? He's been waiting to do. You make your name in the postseason. That's when you make it. Tomorrow's going to be fun. Although, you know what's coming. They're going to attack the rim. They complained about the lack of free throws from the backcourt. Although, they went to the line more. 9 of 12. Nola just 7 of 10. It's incredible when you think about it. Just 10 free throws for the Pels, just 12 for them. Not a lot of whistles being called when you think of the physicality and, you know, things of that nature in the playoff game. So, we'll touch on that in a little bit more. Up next, though, we'll focus on the black and gold. Got to tell you about the off-season workouts. Pepito in studio with the black and gold workout gear. Got the headband.
Still a little sweaty from the workout.
Man, you're excited.
Mm-hmm.
Don't play the game of claims, though, Jason. With insurance companies, you've been injured in an accident, personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, workers' comp. Ring the king. 909-KING. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm, 909-KING is the way to ring the king. KingInjuryFirm.com is the way to check them out online. Pepito, time for a little Saints update on what's going on. Obviously, we played a little bit ago that you were super excited. Oh, there you go again, doing a little jumping jacks.
Got to get those calisthenics in.
Ready to get going as, of course,
my pit stain leotard, black and gold. It wasn't the original color.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen this video?
This was a very popular song and video back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Of the time. I don't know if it aged well.
Men wore the same clothing, by the way.
Absolutely.
Was it jams? Weren't they like spandex shorts?
Yeah, you had those.
Yeah.
Zubaz followed that right after. That was like the next generation. Not very good choices. But I'm feeling it.
There it is. So the Saints start off-season workouts today. Here are your off-season important dates of note. So these are important.
Very. Let's hear them.
Go ahead and pull. You got your iPhone ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pull up the calendar. Here it is. May 22nd through the 24th. These are OTAs, Jason.
OTAs.
29th through the 31st. June 4th and the 7th. And then the mandatory mini camp. Looking forward to your coverage this year. 12 to 14. June 12th through the 14th.
I'll be working out with them, actually.
Really? You're off-season working out right now?
I told Sean Payton, as long as he's playing this in the practice field, I'm there.
Could you imagine you just walk in with the outfit that you're on in right now into the workout facility with, you know, NFL players? They're getting ready for another run and a very difficult schedule this year. And there you are.
But they'd all be wearing the same thing.
No.
Yeah, that's how they prepare.
But I could just hear you going, scooch over, guys. Time for you to do some squats.
Yes. Cam, move. Move, bruh.
Cam, watch out, dude. Let me show you how it's done.
Yeah, watch out. Yeah. I got your spot.
Alvin Kamara, who had a little video a couple of weeks ago of what, he was pulling a truck or something?
I would literally just pull him out the huddle. Drew, just give me the ball, bro. I got this.
Could you pull one of the carts from the Winn-Dixie across the street? I mean,
I don't know.
What if we tie like two or three of those carts?
No, we could do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're probably, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say you're a good five cart puller.
Oh, I think so.
You could pull
carts. That's how I'm gonna get on the practice squad.
Yeah.
How much is that check?
You can put five carts together and pull it.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like it's not a lot, but you know, like when they put them all together, like at Sam's or when Nixie or whatever, and have that long row, they're gonna have the assisted cart that helps that.
Mm-hmm. That's me. I'm the assistant cart.
Yeah. That could be a challenge one day.
Walk into the practice facility doing that, they're just going to hand me a jersey and say, buddy, welcome to the squad.
Welcome to the team.
Mm-hmm.
So the off-season workouts consist of a number of phases, three in particular. Are you ready to know what each phase means?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I mean, I'm going to have to do these.
All right, here we go. Phase one, 2 weeks of the program with activities limited to strength and conditioning and physical rehabilitation only. So there you go.
Important.
Little lifting, little stretching.
Got to.
Doing it as a team, though. Phase two consists of the next 3 weeks of the program. On-field workouts, and it may include individual player instruction and drills, as well as team practice conducted on a separate basis. No live contact or team offense versus team defense drills are permitted. So in other words, Drew can go throw to some receivers. Work on the screen pass with Alvin Kamara. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
That's what you could do.
Yeah.
But it can't be a practice, per se.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
You know, to where you sit there and you go in and out of the huddle, you do 7-on-7s, 11-on-11. None of that, Jason. But you can, you know, go run some routes and work on certain elements. All right? And now you are the one that loves phase three. You're a phase three, aren't you?
I'm a phase three kind of guy.
That's what I thought. It consists of the next 4 weeks of the program. As for some reason, you have the video now.
Well, what do you think? How do you think this song's coming over the air?
Okay, well, wow. I forgot portions of this
God,
video.
This did not age well.
No.
This is great. This is so bad, it's really good.
Forgot certain portions of this video. What was that? The butt burner?
It focuses on a lot of different things. Yeah. If you just watch the video.
Yeah, I don't really know what
a lot of different muscles.
Okay. Anyway, teams may conduct a total of 10 days of organized team practice activities or OTAs. No live contact is permitted, but you can do 7-on-7, 9-on-7, 11-on-11 drills are permitted. So there you go. And again, those start May 22nd, so just a little bit over a month from now. Mm-hmm. And that's where we can watch, wow, one of three practices. as the 22nd through, they've been like this for the last several years. They're Tuesday through Thursday practices. That is a really bad video, by the way.
I'm sorry. I'm.
Yeah, I know. I've lost you.
I'm lost here.
Absolutely lost you to this video.
This is amazing. I forgot it was this bad.
You know what? Go ahead. Retweet the link.
Oh, I will.
Just retweet the link for the ESPN NOLA folks. At ESPN Radio NOLA. They want to check out what I guess working out was like in the 80s.
According to MTV, yeah.
Yeah, according to MTV. Anyway. So, yeah, so the team getting back into it now. One player of note that is interesting to kind of think of here. So, wide receiver Willie Snead, right? I mean, I want to say the only team that I've seen that he's gone and paid a visit to were the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the Saints have given him a low tender. No draft compensation, no picks, nothing. It's 1.97. Now, Jason, you would take $1.97 million, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Okay. Again, though, in 2015, he was really good. 2016, same thing. Kind of became a possession receiver, right, for the Saints. So he feels he should probably make a little bit more than, because there's taxes and, you know, then you got to pay the agent. You know, Jason, I mean, it's that 1.97 kind of dwindles down rather quickly. Anyway, he hasn't signed a tender, but Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network says that he is in the building. And that he plans, Ian's told, to be with the team and do everything, but he has yet to sign the tender. Now, he has until Friday. Joel Erickson of The Advocate saying until Friday in which to sign an offer with any other team. So, more likely than not, the fact that he's with the team and starting the off-season workouts now, it's kind of his sign, I guess, of, would say, good faith, but just basically, hey, look, I want to be a part of the team, and maybe it's just that he has no other offers, obviously, going with it. So, he was easily one of the stories last year that was dumbfounding. Just never looked healthy, never looked a part of it as well. Although, again, if it was the hamstring that minimized it, it was the most serious non-season-ending hamstring injury ever. So, I'm not saying it wasn't a part of it at some part of the career or of the season, but I don't know. Doghouse, what have you. They didn't throw to him. And in that Minnesota game, super easy, obviously, to remember, yet not emotionally, of course, the Marcus Williams play. But the Saints don't win that game or get a chance to even kick the potential game-winning field goal if Willie Snead doesn't catch a fourth down pass. The guy catches third down and fourth down passes. Let's go with third, more third downs than fourth. But he's a possession receiver. He's a guy that keeps the possession. They can move the sticks. So let's see. Again, Cam Meredith, the new receiver for the Saints that they pulled away from the Bears, he's hoping to be ready for the start of the season, start practicing at training camp. If Willie Snead comes back, look, it's a chance for him to have all of those OTAs, the mini camps, going into the season, be a part of it, and have some more depth, Pepito, into that situation. Remember, look, Brandon Coleman, I don't think he's even been offered a tender. So, and as I said last week, if you remember, the team, was it on Friday, either visited or was about to visit with a pair of receivers, Anthony Miller from Memphis, and also Stan Dunbar from Houston at the Saints' local pro day. So, receiver is still an area that this team feels that they can upgrade on and are looking to upgrade as well. Hour one brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies if you've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING, and check them out online, kinginjuryfirm.com. You're listening to a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
I think anytime you can go on the road and win a game, especially a playoff game, they always say the series doesn't start until you win on the road.
There he is, head coach Alvin Gentry. Jason, I forgot to mention one thing in that Saints update. Drew Brees was busy last night.
He wasn't getting physical.
No, well, technically, he physically opened the envelope to present Song of the Year at the ACMs, or the ACMAs. There you go. That's the Academy of Country Music Awards. Yeah.
I missed that one. Sorry.
He
opened an envelope and said the winner.
Yeah, he gave the Song of the Year to Miranda Lambert.
I'm sure it's a real banger.
Well, I mean, look. I mean, there's... Could have worn gloves. You know, you don't get paper
I really
cuts.
I don't even know how to respond to
you know,
it, to
but
be honest with you.
He was able to get on stage. There was no tripping. There was no accidents. He opened up the envelope without being injured.
No paper cuts in his fingernail.
Yep, and he is here at all season conditioning.
He needs to get back to NOLA and get physical.
Well, he hit all season workouts. It's today. It starts today.
Let's
He's
go.
He's back. This is where we are in the offseason. I mean, it's where we are. It's waiting for the OTAs. Waiting for something of note.
Wow.
Don't forget next Thursday. What?
Waiting for the OTAs almost impatiently.
At least it's like football stuff.
No, you're right.
I agree. Here's what I'm getting at. Look, I'll give you the news. We'll talk about it and stuff. But, man, I need to watch a game. I need to watch a practice. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's only so much you can just, hey, they worked out today.
Yeah. Boy, Kamara, he looked good tying his shoes before stretchy time.
Hey. You know, I mean, but I guess the excitement level comes from you're 2 weeks away from the draft. The excitement level comes you're a month and 2 weeks away from OTAs.
Sorry for laughing into the mic like that. We posted, Pels fans, what's the most impressive aspect of the Game 1 win on Twitter?
I got to give
Gary, follow him, at Gumbo Vibes. Don't know this person, just saw it.
Inside analysis?
Yeah, great inside analysis. This is my kind of stuff, my kind of coverage right here. Mm-hmm. That we scored more points than the Blazers.
There you go.
That's my kind of guy.
There you have it. You don't get that kind of feedback anywhere else.
He could work for me. That's the kind of stats I give.
Sounds exactly what your department in our analytics.
Old Gary Dumbo can be on my writing team.
Gary Dumbo.
My coverage team.
No. His name is Dumbo Vibes. It's not Gary Dumbo.
Oh, it's Gary Dumbo now.
I like it. It's good. And you just favored it. You just liked
it.
Yeah. Okay.
Tweet more in-depth analysis, Gary. I will most definitely read them. I'm with you. Welcome aboard.
Gary, you have a new best friend. Josh says, Drew defense. Dude, the two blocks were amazing. They were spectacular. Jared gave us another good one. Pepito.
Mm.
Not losing was the most impressive thing.
That's good, too.
No, I think what he means, too, is it's tough to win game one of a road game in a playoff series. As a matter of fact, the Pels win Saturday night was the only team to win on the road. Now, those were Saturday games. Sunday, Celtics beat the Bucks in overtime, 113-107. It was 99-96 with 0.5 to play off an inbound. Milwaukee shoots and makes a three. Chris Middleton to tie the game to go into overtime. Pacers were the second team on the road to win in this postseason as they hammered the Cavs 98-80. Victor Oladipo, 32 points. LeBron, 24. Jason, we said it Friday. I want to say even Brian and Elise and I were talking about it Tuesday. Dino and I talked about it Wednesday or Thursday of last week. I thought the Pacers were being disrespected nationally. I'll say it. Disrespect. No one gave them a chance. You're talking sweep. And you remember, we had that guy from the Indianapolis Star. And I can't think of his name. He was great. We had him on twice.
Clifton Brown.
Yes, Clifton Brown. He was fantastic. But we talked to him like, dude, that's a really good team. I mean, they've played really well this year. Nate McMillan has done a great job over there. And look, they go out there and win that first game. And by all accounts, you follow social media, if you read any game recap, it wasn't close. They got hammered. Which, you know, of course, leads to one thing today, Jason, on First Take, Around the Horn, and PTI.
Yeah, all those great shows.
Is LeBron, is it, are the Cavs done? Is it over? It's one game, one series, and we'll focus a little bit more on that coming up next hour. We'll hear more from the guys in the locker room after that win. The adjustments in the makeup. Look, this team was up 19. And they watched that lead get down to one, but held on. That's, to me, probably the most impressive thing. The poise was the most impressive. Hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.